It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer aside, Sid, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Tuesday morning. Almost a clean sweep, almost a perfect night for New York sports. But, of course, the Jets had to make that not happen with a miserable loss again. And this time it was, well, this time is felt like every other time, where there's too many penalties, too many mistakes, opportunities all over the field to be able to win the game, and they can't get it done. But prior to that, and we'll get to all of it throughout the morning, probably all of it here in this first segment as well, you had two wins from the Mets and the Yankees, and of course the Mets answered back right away with a Francisco Lindor home run and Vientos grand slamming. That was the 2024 Mets right there. They come off a loss where they got smacked around. Boom, right out of the gate, Lindor home run. We're not dead. Build up a big lead, and of course it comes down to Edwin Diaz, and we're all screaming and yelling and pulling our hair out, but he gets the job done. So 1-1 heading home. Job done there out in L.A., and the Yankees take care of business in game one against the Guardians. Look like the better team. Flex their muscles. Juan Soto, big home run. Giancarlo Stanton, big home run. Bullpen looked great. So the night got off to a phenomenal start. Ended with a thud, but hey, we got two baseball teams that are winning in their respective league championship series, and I think we start there. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I don't know about you, but I have sensory overload.
Yes.
I mean, Molly, my God, I'm telling you, from 4 o'clock on yesterday to about 12:15 last night, it was just nonstop. It was, I had it all going on.
Sure.
Just trying to, you know, keep track of everything and what's happening. And, you know, from the Hail Mary at halftime to the Vientos grand slam to the Rodon pitching to the Edwin Diaz taking us to the cliff to, I don't know, to the Alan Lazard catch at halftime. I mean, I don't know what. It was like you had to have your head on a swivel. And I think you got to start with the Mets. I mean, the way that I think that you characterized it yesterday, you thought that they were going to come back and win. You thought that they would bounce back. This is what they've been known for all year long. You know, Manaea was good.
Yeah,
very and then
good.
All of a sudden, you know, it kind of got wonky on him. And then Maton had to come in and save the. He did okay.
Yeah, like,
you know,
yeah.
But there were a couple errors in there. There were a couple, you know, crazy hit balls, and Iglesias has the ball hit off the mound, go under his glove, and that would have been a double play. I mean, things like that were happening. Crazy things started happening. But then Ryan Stanek came in.
Yeah.
And he did a hell of a job. He did a hell of a job, and then he got himself in trouble. And then Diaz comes in, gets the one out, boom, done, then has to walk the first two guys to start the ninth, and then starts throwing his fastball, which they can hit. And you can hear Smoltz talking about it, saying, you know, they talked to him about throw your fastball. They can't hit it.
Yeah. Throw it for a strike.
And throw it for a strike. They can't hit it. And basically, he did what he normally does. I mean, when he is on like that, that was him 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, the Mets are, they're walking too many guys. If you look at these rallies and you look at the times that they have given the Dodgers life in the first two games, it's because they're walking guys. Kodai Senga couldn't throw a strike. The Dodgers got back into the game because of walks. Just throw strikes, especially when you've got a lead. Like, you don't need to walk Shohei Ohtani on four pitches when you've got a four-run lead. Like, go after him. He wasn't hitting the ball anyway.
Yeah, I don't obviously, they're not trying to walk people. I would think that Maton was
too much nibbling.
Being careful. Like, you just didn't want to have him hit a home run and all of a sudden change the momentum of the entire game.
Yeah.
You got to take that into account. I mean, at the end of the day, they win the game. They come back. You said it yesterday. This is the DNA of this baseball team. And to have Lindor lead off with a home run was incredible. That was incredible, especially after all the scoreless innings the Dodgers had had.
Yeah. I mean, I I said to Gina, because I had to take a nap because I stayed up. I didn't stay up as late as you. I stayed up till the very end of the Jet game.
I'm an idiot.
But I did. I was up at like 11:25, 11:30. But I set my alarm for 4 o'clock to take a nap. I took a nap from 2 to 4 o'clock. And I said, I'm going to set it for 4 o'clock. I'm going to wake up. We're going to watch Francisco Lindor hit a leadoff home run. As Gina is my witness. And that's exactly what happened.
Well,
she goes,
great,
oh my
man.
God. But that's the type of team that it is. It's like, okay, it just felt like that.
It felt like after all the shutout innings, after the way that the Mets season has gone, like Lindor was going to go up there and be like, okay, enough of this. Whap. And he did.
And again, the great thing is that they intentionally walk him. You know, Dave Roberts over there with his, you know, I don't know. You know, the Dodgers seem to me like they're like a computer chip team.
Yeah, they always have been.
I know that. Yeah. I know that. And maybe Dave Roberts felt like, you know, Lindor's hot and I don't want to give him an opportunity to, you know, to blow the game open here and all this other stuff. So let's walk him. And then Vientos basically says after the game, I take that as a slight.
Yeah, and you saw him in the video in the replay when Dave Roberts says go and walk him. You know, Vientos is like, like, okay. You know, with sunglasses, right. He's just like, okay. You know, and I love the fact that he took it personally, but I mean, the way Lindor has been hitting and first base open, I don't think it was a bad call or a slap in the face, but the fact that he took it personally was awesome. And I love the fact that he said that.
All right, Lindor's been the spark plug. I'm right there with you, but let me just tell you something. Vientos has been great. He's been great since when he finally got up here, and he has like been the answer that the Mets have been looking for at third base for how many freaking since David Wright left.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, this kid is great. Now, I don't even want to talk about the offseason. I just want to talk about yesterday and what he did. His battle with on that at bat was amazing. Fallon pitches off, and you could tell he was on. He wasn't swinging at bad pitches.
Yeah.
And he was on it. You could see that he was on it. And then one meatball comes right down the middle, and as soon as he hit it, you could hear it.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you work the count. You get the 3-2. It's the bases loaded. Like, okay, let's go. Mano y mano, I'm going to challenge you, and Vientos wins. And, you know, Carlos Mendoza has talked a lot about the slow heartbeat of this team, and there's a lot of guys that fit into that category, and the number one guy is obviously Francisco Lindor, and I think it's rubbed off on Vientos as well. At no point did he look nervous or the situation was too big for him. But there are a couple guys, though, that as this series goes on, it's going to be tough, that I think are need to take that page from Lindor.
I know who you're talking about.
Lindor and Vientos, and slow down the heartbeat a little bit. And I'm not. It's awesome they won the game. I'm not trying to be critical, but yes. they didn't need to sweat this out. If Francisco Alvarez could have come up one of those times with runners on base, I mean, he is an automatic out at this point, and he's swinging through his shoes. He's trying too hard, and I also got to throw Iglesias in there. He is swinging and missing at pitches that he was not offering at during the regular season when he hit .337. I mean, he is chasing and he's trying a little bit too hard at the plate as well.
Well, so, there was after the error and after the strikeouts, like, okay, now we know why this guy was down in the minor leagues and nobody wanted to sign him.
Right.
And I mean, so now he's had those moments.
Yep.
And now it's time everybody's got to relax and look for that slow heartbeat again.
Right. It's just, and we know those guys can do it. And they have, and they've proven it to us. I just feel like those guys are trying a little bit too hard. Like, I need to see that Vientos mentality out of Francisco Alvarez at the plate, which is like, hey, I'm supposed to be here. Like, I'm the guy in this situation, and not just like, rah! Every time he swings the bat, he's just, rah! I'm like, come on, just chill out. Take some pitches, relax. Like, just try, like, just be a hitter and not like a complete, you know, nutso person.
I just want to say this. He's 22 years old.
I know, but I mean.
And, you know, and this is the way he's always been. And as I was saying yesterday, if he catches one, he's gonna hit it out of Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, I know.
So he is in the midst of a prolonged slump, but he still is the catcher. He's still behind the plate. He still plays defense, and you know he's a huge part of the team. You know that, and I know that. And they're not going to change anything about what's going on. They'll talk to him. They'll try to get him through it in different ways. You know, but they're not. They're not sitting him down. He's going to be out there, and he needs to chill. Yes, I agree with
and,
you.
And I think it's all a mentality thing, and that's why I think guys like, well, I don't know if Vientos will talk to him because he's also a young guy, but you know, it's up to those players and Lindor to recognize it and somebody to say it, be like, listen, man, you're better than this. I understand it's a big moment and I understand you want to be a hero and we've had these big moments and you want it to be you, but just, you got a better chance of being that hero if you chill out just a little bit. It's just like you're gripping a bat a little bit too tight.
And he's swinging up and everything's popping up, everything's short, you know, like a couple of times, all you need is a fly ball out to the outfield.
I mean, and he could have blown that game open several times and then we wouldn't had to use Stanek and Diaz and everybody and have our hearts in our throats again. But hey, none of these games are easy. The fact that the Dodgers had a cakewalk in game one is a rarity. And I was thinking too, like the way that, and John Smoltz made me feel so much better about this Senga thing. Did you hear him walk through everybody with the whole, you know, setting up with Manaea and game six and seven? And
yeah.
And I thought to myself, I was like, as much as I hated the Senga situation, as bad as he pitched, I mean, if they would have pitched Manaea in game one, I don't know if they would have won the game because Flaherty was just unbelievable in that game. So then you would have wasted your best guy. So now, okay, you come back 1-1, which is what you wanted to do. You had Manaea there in game two to make sure he didn't come back down 0-2. And now you've got the rotation set up exactly the way that you want it the rest of the way, where your horses are going to be going in the most important games.
Well, that's Carlos Mendoza, and that's his coaching staff. That's the front office. That's the analytics guys. That's, you know, being smart about how do you get a split. If you can steal one, game one, great. But you got to get at least a split to come home with that.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what they got. And Manaea was good enough. I mean, you know, he just fell apart there in the sixth inning. It was just so unfortunate.
He was great up until that. I mean, he was flat out great.
He was really unfortunate because I wish he would have gotten through six like Rodon did last night.
I mean, yeah, and hats off to him. He deserves all the credit. I mean, absolutely all the credit. And Yankee fans who have been on him, of course, they want him to succeed. But if you don't perform and you're overly emotional and you're doing all the gyrations and stuff that Carlos Rodon has done as his career as a Yankee and not perform, people are going to get on you. But they loved him last night. And it's funny because, you know, you talked about, and as we were talking about sort of Francisco Alvarez, you mentioned, you know, just put those emotions in your back pocket if you're
right.
Carlos Rodon.
Exactly.
And he made a conscious effort in doing that. There was no, there was a distinct difference in his demeanor last night on the mound that ended up working out. I mean, it was like, just chill out, man. Like, let's pretend you're supposed to be here. Let's pretend this is July. Let's pretend that you're the guy that got that $100 million contract and not someone who's fighting for his life against the Yankee fan. And he was great. So if the Yankees are going to continue this championship run, get to the World Series, he's going to have to be a huge part of it. And that was
a hell of a performance.
It was gigantic. And his teammates probably loved to see that finally. It's just a big game, big performance from a guy who desperately needed it.
You know, I was saying, you know, if I could have talked to him yesterday before the game, I said, look, man, you got the stuff.
Yeah.
You don't need all the other crap going along with it.
Right.
Just focus in, get yourself, you know, get yourself so locked in that the emotion won't even be a part of it, that you'll go about your business and you'll have your stuff. And he had his stuff last night. He had to bring it last night. He was that was a pressure point spot for him in particular, not because of the lineup he was facing. It was because of where, you know, this game falls on the schedule. It falls game one, ALCS. You're the starting pitcher.
At home,
in front of your fans.
Yeah. Yep.
And your fans and you have had a love-hate relationship.
Oh, yeah.
So now they love you. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to act like a jackass on the mound. You just, all you have to do is go out there and use the great stuff that you have. And he did that. And that was the thing that I was hoping to see from him. And I think most Yankee fans would agree with me that just take the emotion. Like, it's great when you're like a linebacker. You got to play emotionally. You got to be intense all the time. But then when you're a pitcher or a quarterback, you have to dial it back. And you got to dial it back to a point where you can see what's happening. You can kind of predict what's going on. And you can use your God-given ability because he's got great stuff. When he is on and his brain doesn't get in his way, you can see what he did last night. I mean, till the lefties couldn't touch him.
Yeah. I mean, it was the best I've seen him pitch in a Yankee uniform. All of us have seen him pitch in a Yankee uniform in the biggest of spots. So, you know, they look like a team that is, I mean, I don't want to dismiss the Guardians, but that, I mean, that was a, you know, Soto home run, Stanton home run, Rodon in the bullpen shutting them down. I mean, that was like a, if you could
Luke
build.
Luke Weaver was just like.
Yeah, I mean, he's pitching better than anybody right now in the bullpen.
And Clay Holmes is good, too. I mean, like, you know, that was like. And by the way, I mean, you don't expect the team to play as poorly as the Guardians did. I mean, four wild pitches in a game?
Right. I mean, that was an ugly, ugly start, ugly inning. That was,
you can't expect that again. I mean,
no.
they the home runs are one thing, but, you know, the walks.
Sure.
And the wild pitches.
Yep.
And this, and giving up bases. It was giving up runs. I mean, by the way, two things that happened yesterday I thought were very interesting. You remember when Pete Alonso came around third and he dove into home plate?
Yeah.
I mean, that was great by Pete.
Oh, yeah. He was hustling his ass off.
He knew he was going to go all the way, and he hit the base right. And they were talking about the base running, how you turn around the base and you come down the baseline. That was great. I mean, that was great to see.
Another Pete Alonso pat on the back, the stretch on the double play that got them out of that critical inning in the seventh.
Yeah, that was where the ball went under his glove.
Right, previous.
Freddie Freeman was, you know, it's like standing in front of Igor Shesterkin.
Right, but here it is here. You know, Vientos, Iglesias, Alonso with Kike Hernandez up.
All right, explain this to me. What? On this particular play, the Dodgers call for two reviews?
Yeah, I don't...
What the hell was that all about?
You're talking
about a waste of time.
No, what I think after thinking about this is, so you're allowed to use one challenge on that whole play. So because there's been like neighborhood situations at second base on double plays for many, many years. So like, why not, if we can challenge both of them, just challenge both of them and see if we can.
I mean, it was clear as day that Iglesias had his foot on the bag.
Yeah, it was. So, I mean.
And by the way, I didn't realize that runners were allowed to slide into guys covering the bases like this.
Yeah, I know.
What about that?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it wasn't as like horribly egregious as we've seen, but. Yeah, he did not.
That was Chase Utley-esque?
It wasn't that bad.
You don't think so?
It wasn't that bad, no. Iglesias was in a spot, too. I mean, it wasn't that bad, because he was sliding into the base. He wasn't
I swear to God, I thought Chase Utley. I saw the freaking Dodger uniform. I thought, you know, because obviously he went there late in his career.
Right.
I was thinking Chase Utley again.
Well, thank God that didn't happen. And everybody's fine. And Pete Alonso with the big stretch and getting that done. I mean, that was as big of a play in the game as there was. All right. We've got plenty more to get to. Jerry Recco joins us. Of course, we're going to spend a lot of time on the Jets' loss to the Bills.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Mets win, Yankees win, Jets lose in that order. Jerry Recco's got that and even more New York sports on top of it. What's up, Jerry?
Hi, good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Since you guys started with the baseball, I'll start with the football and work our way backwards if that works for you.
Sure.
Very windy night last night at MetLife Stadium where the Bills held off the Jets late.
Third down and long. Rodgers in the shotgun at the Jet 40-yard line. Takes the snap, drops back. Well protected, looking downfield. Fires a bomb. Up the right side, Mike Williams. Underthrown a bit. Is it intercepted? Down at the 18-yard line it is. It is picked off by Taron Johnson.
And that be that. That was Bob Wischusen, Q104.3, Jets Radio Network. Hard to argue. 23-20, the final, as the Bills send the Jets 2-4. The Bills now 4-2 on the season. A lot going on here. Number one, you had interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich. So what was it like being on the sidelines? We know you lost, but just the overall feeling?
Yeah, it was a different challenge, for sure. I mean, just calling the game is a challenge in itself. Fortunately, a great support staff. I got eyes above me, constantly in my ear, talking to me and guiding me. So, It was a challenge, but it was not overwhelming by any means.
The Jets had almost 400 yards of offense, yet very little to show for it. Yes, there were a couple of missed field goals, one from 32 yards out. They were inside the 10-yard line on a couple of occasions, came away with nothing. Here was Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I'm here to win those games. But we got to be on our details, you know. It's little things every single time.
Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. How many big plays do they have called back by penalties?
The penalties are ridiculous.
I mean, and the one big play to Garrett Wilson down the middle of the field, and they have a lineup situation where, like...
The formation?
Yeah, the formation. I'm like, that's the detail. That's the little thing. That's the thing that Todd Downing has got to clean up with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a million penalties on both sides. It was a very, very difficult watch. I mean, you're just waiting for a flag at any point. But what Rodgers said there is so true. He's like, I was brought here to win those games. That's three in a row that he should have won, that we feel like we watched the last couple of years and said, man, if they only had a real quarterback, they could have won that game. This is now three in a row that's happened.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, too, this game was so close. You look at the numbers, everything was close. The amount of plays, the amount of possession, the amount of penalties. And the difference in this game comes down to not only two missed field goals for sure.
Especially the 32-yarder.
Yeah, I don't discount that from Greg Zuerlein. He's so much better than that. Has kicked so many big kicks in his career that, you know, last night, of course, it's his turn to make a mistake. But really, honestly, it comes down to one final turnover. You know, it's the one interception. It's the one turnover at the end of the game. Now, I don't know whether or not or Aaron just underthrew him, but it was like one of those throws that where Aaron will make it and he'll throw it off his back foot. You know, he stepped into the Hail Mary.
Sure.
That you could see he has the arm. When he steps into it, it's like a missile coming down at you. And this last one, he kind of throws off his back foot for no reason and kind of like, I don't know, it looked like he short-armed it for whatever reason. And because he had him wide open. If he throws it out in front of him, this could be a touchdown. Mm.
Garrett Wilson had a nice night, 8 catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown. But we were talking about the attention to detail and the mistakes. We're talking about penalties. The Jets were flagged for, or at least there were 11 accepted penalties against both teams.
Kimball had three there at the end.
And for the Jets, though, it's just a recurring theme.
It's definitely frustrating, but you know, we're the ones in control of it, so we got to fix it. We got to, and we plan to.
And they plan to. And then you know how sometimes you get punched in the mouth, whether it's being punched in the mouth or like on the playing field? Here's Ray Davis. So he had himself a very nice night. He ran for 97 yards, had 3 catches for 55. I think he is specifically talking about the first drive and setting the tone as they did.
Taking it to them, you know, taking the physicality to them, understanding that, you know, maybe some guys may not want to tackle. So it's about just going out there and bringing the physicality, lowering your pads, running behind your pads, and getting those tough yards. Again, you know, 2 to 3 yards may turn into 4 to 5, and then it may turn into, you know, an explosive play. So,
I mean, he was amazing. Right. Early on in this game, he was amazing. Breece Hall should have scored a touchdown. On the long run down the left sideline,
yeah, I don't know.
They had to set up for a field goal. I don't know what he's looking at. And another time, he comes around the corner late in the game, and he's got Tyron Smith out in front of him. And you got to be instinctive, I think, but you also have to set up your blocks. And and instead of setting up the block, he like cuts back towards the middle and gets stoned right at the line of scrimmage.
And he had a great night overall, especially compared to his other games. But, yeah, I feel like he left a little bit out there as well.
Even on the first drive, the ball in the flat that he just puts the one hand on. And right. Troy Aikman's like, why is he not using two hands? And they wind up settling for the field goal. So they're 2-4, not great. They get the Steelers in prime time coming up.
All right, another prime time game.
Yep. Another prime time game, yes. Because America loves watching the Jets. All right, we take it the late game first. The Yankees and Guardians last night. It was game one of their ALCS. The Yankees striking first.
Here's the 2-1. Swinging and hit high in the air to deep right center field. And that ball is gone into the Yankee bullpen. I never thought it was going that far. It did. And the Yankees take a 1-0 lead. A Soto photo.
Yes, it was.
Juan Soto.
John Sterling with the call here on the Fan. Soto homers, as does Giancarlo Stanton. He homers in the 7th. Aaron Judge, a sack fly, and some miserable relief pitching from Cleveland, getting a couple of guys in with wild pitches. 5-2, the final score last night. The Yankees take game one. Here was Stanton on Yes, who continues to just dazzle in the postseason. He says, forget me, it was Soto that really was the catalyst.
I mean, he's the man. He sees everyone well, so it's just awesome. He gets start us off tonight and get us going.
And here was Soto, 9-for-13 against Alex Cobb with a couple of home runs, including last night's. So why so much success against him?
I don't know. He's a veteran player, you know. He's been in the league for a while. I feel like he's a guy who's not scared. He's pounding the strike zone. So he's gonna give you pitches to hit.
And he hits them for sure. And Carlos Rodon with a very good start. Last night, 6 innings, 3-hit ball, 9 strikeouts. Is this one of the best starts you've had?
It's up there. I've never pitched in the ALCS before. So this is my first time. So, I mean, there's no bigger stage in baseball. So I would say it's definitely up there.
Lots of swings and misses last night.
Yeah, out of the strike zone, too.
Yeah, we got them chasing.
Yeah.
Here was Stephen Vogt and Cleveland manager. Give Rodon a lot of credit with what he did.
He made pitches. He was hitting the top rail of his fastball, threw some good changeups, threw some cutters to our lefties, and he's a good pitcher, and he got a lead and pitched like a good pitcher pitches with a lead.
And Luke Weaver pitched really well again. Five out save. Tonight you've got Garrett Cole taking on Tanner Bibee. First pitch on the fan at 7:38. See if the Yankees can go up 2-0. All right, to Los Angeles we go. And yes, Francisco Lindor opened with the home run. You had the RBI double by Tyrone Taylor. And then it was broken open.
Here's the payoff pitch. Swing on a drive in the air, pretty well hit right center. Paez back at the track, near the wall. It is gone! A grand slam for Mark Vientos on a 3-2 pitch. He clears the bases, hitting it into the pavilion in right center field. Mark Vientos with the Mets' second grand slam of the postseason, his third postseason home run.
Yeah, gave him a 6-0 lead, and they would go on.
A salami!
Yes, they would go on to win 7-3. Howie Rose, Mets Odyssey Radio. We mentioned Lindor and Taylor. Starling Marte with a very big RBI single in the ninth inning as well, and a great slide by Pete Alonso to get in and around the tag. Here was Carlos Mendoza, the key to the Lindor and Vientos early home runs.
I think the way they were taking the pitches, you know, it was with ease. It was on time, ready for a pitch in your zone. But if he wasn't there, the way they took it, he was pretty telling.
Which was opposite from the night before, where they were chasing like crazy on everything. Here was Vientos, who says, yeah, I made them pay for the intentional walk for sure. That was to Lindor right ahead of him.
I want them to walk Lindor in that situation and put me up there. And at that point, I was just, let me simplify the game. Just get one run in, get a walk, like whatever I can do to add another run to the score.
And instead he added four more, which really turned out to be the difference. Sean Manaea cruised the first five innings, ran into a little bit of trouble in the sixth. Along the way, got Shohei Ohtani, I think it was three different times. How did he handle him so well?
I mean, it's great. I mean, he's just one of the guys in the lineup. You know, I'm just trying to do my job and put up zeros, and you know, obviously he's very talented, so you know, I'm just trying to get on to the next guy and just, you know, do my job.
He made him look silly on that one at bat.
Yeah, I mean, and John Smoltz was saying he's never looked that bad at any point during the regular season in multiple consecutive at bats.
And I still can't get over how he's hitless with nobody on base, and you can't get him out with people on base.
Yeah, no.
Who shot him at Bigfoot?
Yeah, I know. There's it says Kyler Gordon. It's there's a man who, yeah. It's
we're looking at a player from the Bears showing up to their game this past weekend looking like Bigfoot.
Yeah, he looked like a combination of Kanye West and Lord Farquhar. If that makes any sense.
I don't know what a Lord Farquhar is, but that sounds funny.
I thought Lord Farquhar was a little king looking like dude.
Yeah, but he had like the hair like that. So that's
that's what it is. Okay.
That's where I got that from. That's where I look like Kanye.
I thought it was like a Bigfoot with the big old heavy
Sasquatch
jacket,
suit.
Sasquatch jacket on.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing all these guys are unbelievable.
Edwin Diaz got the four out save. Wasn't easy in the ninth because he gave up a single and a walk, but then blew away the next three guys. Said the fastball was coming out easy.
It's really good life. I got a lot of good life in my power. I feel really, really good. I think that's the pitch who got me out of trouble. I keep throwing it.
And so the Mets get the split, and that means the Dodgers head to Citi Field tied 1-1. Max Muncy says, moving on.
Yeah, you know, like I said, the loss sucks, but you can't sit there and cry about it. You still got a bunch more games to play, and you know, you just got to make sure that you're ready to go. And that's why it's a good thing there's an off day tomorrow. You have a workout, you show up, and you make sure you get good work in, and then you go in the next day. And it's, like I just said, it's a 0-0 series at that point.
And you get Severino and Buehler in this Game 3 tomorrow night at Citi Field.
Have you seen this video that went viral of the Corgi, which is a breed of dog, knocking a basketball with his nose into separate Dodger and Mets baskets for each game of the series?
I have seen it.
And so far, he's 2-for-2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you had the Dodgers in Game 1 and the Mets in Game 2.
How about that?
It's time to take the Corgi seriously.
The heavens are overlooking the series with the dog?
No. It's
it is cute, though. I did see it.
And he's got the Mets winning in 6. So
Hopefully the Corgi.
Yeah, hopefully the Corgi is right.
So that means we're taking 2 out of 3 here at Citi Field.
Yeah. If that Corgi is right about this series, then, I mean... Think about it.
Walking dog bets.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, serious.
Like, why not?
You should make our picks for us on Fridays.
I wish someone would, because I suck.
I mean, think about all the different things. I mean, the Corgi's going to have to become part of the lore of this season, too, if they win in six.
How many different things are we going to have for this season?
Yeah. It's funny. I saw a post on X yesterday. You saw the snake in the Dodgers dugout. Yes. And they said if the snake was in the Mets dugout, they would save it. They'd keep it. They'd name it. They'd put it in the clubhouse.
And take it home with them.
Right. Exactly. Travel with it.
It is so true. The Rangers beat the Red Wings 4-1 as we continue all this positivity aside from the Jets.
Well, the Devils won yesterday, too.
I know. The Islanders, I'm getting there. The Islanders beat the Avalanche 6-2, and the Devils shut out Utah 3-0. Tonight, you've got New Jersey at Carolina.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We'll get into our extended Jets thoughts coming up at 7 a.m. and your calls 888-808-1019. We're also giving away Mets Dodgers Game 3 NLCS tickets at Citi Field in our 8 a.m. hour. We're going to tell you in the 7 a.m. hour how you win those tickets. So stay tuned for all of that.
You know, if you're the New York Yankees, now you go game two and you got your ace going.
That's right. Tonight, 7:37 at the stadium.
You can't ask for a better performance from Rodon, and you couldn't ask for a better situation from a Yankee pitching standpoint, that your relievers came in, boom, boom, got the job done. Nobody was, you know, truly extended. I guess you could say maybe Luke Weaver was a little bit of extended, but he'll be available for tonight, I would think. And quite frankly, it's exactly what you want if you are the New York Yankees. And hopefully Gerrit Cole now comes through with a big performance like he did his last outing.
Right, which was phenomenal in that game four in the ALDS. So you expect him to continue that and come out and perform in front of the home crowd. I mean, the Guardians are going to feel a little bit of a desperation. They don't want to go back home down 0-2, but you would expect, I mean, the Yankees are a big favorite tonight for a reason, and that's because of Gerrit Cole and the fact that the offense is, you know, they didn't put up a 10 spot last night, but the offense is waking up a little bit, couple big home runs from their big boppers.
You know, it's amazing with all the stuff that went on last night and yesterday. Feels like the Giants played like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's the team that's been lost in the shuffle over the last couple of weeks, for better or worse for them. I mean, I think that they're probably happy after a loss that people aren't hammering them as much as they've been hammering them. But the focus has been on the Yankees, the Mets, and the Jets, especially with a coaching change with the Jets and then playing for first place last night against the Buffalo Bills. But you're right. I mean, the Giants have been... But the Giants have sort of been the team that's been the most boring out of everybody the last number of years anyway. So it fits their personality.
And by the way, who the hell was the home plate umpire last night or in the Mets game yesterday? I mean, was that Wes McCauley back there? I mean, the amount, he was so inconsistent.
Yeah.
And he called two, I forget who he called, I think, was it Bientos and Alonso out? I forget who he punched out. But
it was definitely Alonso, yeah.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. The balls were completely out of the zone.
You know what's so funny is before last night, I was thinking to myself, and I never made the point on the air because of this exact reason. I was like, you know, these home plate umpires have been pretty good. They've been pretty consistent throughout the postseason.
Not yesterday.
And then yesterday, of course. But I think the reason why I didn't bring it up, I was like, because the second I bring it up, you know there's going to be a day where somebody is just absolutely terrible. And it was ended up being yesterday with the inconsistencies. And I have to tell you, like, I'm regressing a little bit as a mature sports fan. Like, for what, I'm having irrational anger creeping back up, and I need to like stop myself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I've been a mature sports fan for a number of years.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, you're mature, right? Yep,
a mature sports fan. I have been.
Yeah,
but like, I'm irrationally hating Shohei Ohtani right now. There's nothing about him to dislike, but I hate him now. Every time he comes up, I'm like, oh, you punk, you're not that good, you stink. And I'm like, what am I doing? Yeah. And then so I got like two versions of me. You know, like the version like that I was in my 20s that's starting to come out. And then the version of me in my 40s, like, will you stop? Like, what is wrong with you? Why are you hating on this guy and cursing at him for absolutely no reason? He's one of the best baseball players I've ever seen. He's got a good personality. There's nothing wrong with him. He's not, you know, but for whatever reason, like, I want him out so bad. And I just like... I'm just cursing at him the entire time. And I don't feel that same way about Mookie Betts, who, by the way, got blown away twice in big situations where he could have come through yesterday, which was just awesome to see.
He also made a great play on right field yesterday.
Yeah. Yes, he did. But maybe it's because of the, I don't know, maybe it's because of the MVP conversation or whatever it is. But I don't know. I'm just like, I'm hating on Ohtani. Irrationally hating on Ohtani.
Well, your Met fandom is back now.
Well, what it is it's, you know, it's like a dormant volcano. I mean, it'll never be the same as it was, but there you regress a little bit. When you get into the NLCS and situations like this, your brain starts to go backwards a little bit. Because you get all, you get like, at least for me, I don't know. Some people never change, like Evan never changes. Like, I admit that I changed. Like, the losses didn't hurt as much. It just as you get older. But now I'm like, I'm starting to catch myself.
Well, the thing about it is that you're involved now because of where the Mets have gone to.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Same thing with the Yankees, too, for that matter. For any Yankee fan that may be feeling the way that you're feeling. I mean, there is a level of anxiety right now that both fan bases are feeling. And this is what you're supposed to be feeling. Like, this is good stuff. This is what we all want. This is what, like, I would... Even yesterday during the Dodger game, they were talking about local sports talk.
Yeah, they did mention that. Yeah, in New York, they said, the best job to have right now is a New York sports talk.
And I would agree with them. I guess Kenny Albert had to remind them that there was a Ranger game last night, which I had to remind you guys yesterday that all three hockey teams were playing. But
yeah.
I will say that, yes, I don't ever remember a day where I sat here and we had everything that we had in the last 2 days, starting, you know, Sunday night. It started Sunday night and went all the way through last night. It was a 24-hour period of madness. Actually, it started Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, locally it started Sunday night. But yes, it really started.
Oh, yeah, the Mets, game one.
But that was at night.
Right.
So, yeah, everything started at nighttime locally. But, of course, you had Sunday football and everything else starting at 1 o'clock. And if you're paying attention to that and the fantasy and everything else, I mean... Yeah, it's been as good as it gets, and now the Yankees get the stage basically all to themselves tonight.
Yeah, I'd like to see the comparison in terms of ratings for last night's football game versus the Yankees and the Guardians.
Yeah, that's very Mike and the Mad Dog of you. That's something that they would, right, Eddie? Like, they love that. You get two big local teams up against each other, like, get me the ratings. Hey, Eddie, give me the ratings on that, please. I want to see head-to-head New York only. Let me see how the Jets did against the Yankees. And Mets stand alone, Mikey. So that number's probably going to be pretty big. Now, it is 4 o'clock. People driving home. You know, not everybody's in front of the TV. You might have a little situation, you know, radio numbers, whatever. But I'd like to see. I don't know. I mean, I think... Dog, I'll say the Jets probably did a 10-4. And I'm going to say the Yankees did a 9-5. That's what I think, a 9-5. I can see that. That's fair. I could see that.
Is that local or national?
No, it's local.
Okay.
I just want to see, you know, national, you know the football's going to win out. Every time, you know the football's going to win out on the national side. But locally, you know, how into it is a Yankee fan right now? You don't get a lot of Yankee Jet crossovers. Ask Tiki Barber. You don't get a lot of that. And then you got Columbus Day. Maybe people well rested, Indigenous peoples. You have all them, so you stay up a little bit later. So we'll get those ratings for you. We'll see where it's at.
Oh, God.
Take a look at that. Five in front of 7. Sports Radio 66. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan.
Jesus.